And I ended up in a church in Dublin. We were there for probably 6 or 7 years, and the worship was incredible there. And it was a worldwide movement. But I would have to say that a key to it, and I sort of feel a word for the church now, but a word for you individually, was, I'd have to say, as I look back on it, and I'm not going to get into it, and I've heard people go around the world and they said, never touched worship like it, was that there were prophetic worshippers in the midst, and they brought heaven down all the time. And then, you know, Open Door started. And in 95, a guy called Mike Herron came into the city. And I wrote everything down, but without understanding it, because about new tabernacle, new depths of worship, and new days of worship. Because musically, I have very few notes, very few anything musically. And he prophesied all that. But a number of months later, you know, when I look back at it, all that he prophesied into my life back there, just remember the name Mike Herron, because it's going to come up in a short time later. There was a guy in Calvary. He was a prophet going around the line. And he came to me and he said, you're going to be like a David in worship. And I just, I didn't disbelieve. I don't know why, but I did. I felt he'd got the wrong guy. And within a number, we had some of the best worshiper leaders lead our conference. But within a few years, there was a complete switch in the place. And a guy called Peter Noonan took it over. And I remember I used to keep speaking into life. And a lot of this has been always accidental, but it's been a God thing. And Marion took me aside one night and said, he's only got one card. And he was going to lead Kings that August. There was no question about it. I saw it. It was whatever. But I had to come into the fore. I had to get the people praying in tongues, get them prophesying, declaration, because Peter had so little musically. And a whole new type of worship developed in our place. I got a book, or Marion got a book, called Prophetic Moments a couple of years ago. And I'm reading the book. It's a guy called Dick Iverson. And Dick said he was an evangelist. He could reach people with worship. But his father got a heart attack. And the doctor said he'll die if he keeps leading the church. So he had to take over the church. And he said Sunday after Sunday, worship was a nightmare. So he started to visit other churches once a month. And he found that worship was a nightmare everywhere he went. So then... But he went to this church one Sunday, and a guy called, a prophet, you may have heard of him, he's gone to be with the Lord, and he used to come to Northern Ireland, a guy called David Schock and somebody else. And he said it was wild. They were singing in the Spirit, they were prophesying, and he said it went on. And he said at first he was offended, and the Lord said, I'd like you to dip into the river. And so as I'm reading the book, I said, this is our worship. This is the style that has developed. Top worshiper in Dick Iverson's church is a guy called Mike Herron that prophesied over me in 94 or 95, the power of the prophetic word, of all that, just amazingly, of what happened in our midst. Eventually, Dick said, I got this. He said, I went out the door, and as I went out, he said to David, he said, it was extraordinary today. David said, it's like that every Sunday. So eventually, he got him down to his church. And David stood in front of the church and he said, worship is simple. It's this. He got all the people to stand up. He said, it's a sacrifice. He said, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, it's faith. He said, I understood faith because I was an evangelist. And it's based on the power of the cross and the resurrection. And for 10 minutes, he got them all to worship in spirit, to release proclamations. And then he shut it down. Dick said for the first time ever that they had a move of God in their church, he shut it down. And he said to Dick, next Sunday, he said, you do it. He said, I started it. And he said, a fire lit in our church. He said, everywhere we went, we lit a fire. Out of that church of Dick Iverson's, hundreds and hundreds of churches has been raised up. We were, I remember talking to, I've always been a close connection, well, you know, I've always followed Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. Another, you know, I was going for Africa as a Catholic priest. And it's amazing that The covenant that I originally made with God was a connection with a guy who was connected into Africa. And we've always supported them mission-wise with the strong supporters of CFAN in the south of Ireland and mission-wise. But I was talking to Tony Stone, and he said to me that anyone who had connection with CFAN and with Reinhardt, he said there was an intensity that was released in their worship. And now that Daniel has taken over, as well as evangelism, they want to see a worship move. I just want to share tonight that there are systems in God that will bring you into worship. And I just want to share with you one or two of those systems. I have some word for the house, but I have a word for you individually. I'm going to do all that in the next 20 minutes. Hallelujah. Many of the things that has happened, and for all of us, is accidental. It's a God thing. But the Lord spoke to me, and he got me to do 4 teachings in the church, and it was on worship. And the first book he took me was to Exodus, worship and the supernatural. In the book of Exodus, you will see that Moses, it was the priests who carried the worship. They sacrificed, they shed the blood of innocent animals, they wore the robes. And on it, the oil was poured. In 1 Chronicles 13 and 1 Chronicles 15, David tries to bring back the ark. And as he's bringing back the ark, they put it on the best cart that they could get. And the ark moves. And Uzziah puts out his hand and he struck dead. And David was angry and he feared the Lord. And he started to search the scriptures. And he found in the scriptures that there were systems in God for the carrying of the ark. And those systems was that only the Levites could do it. We Googled that the other day in Bible study. And the Levites are priests. And not all priests are Levites, but all Levites are priests. And when you look it up in 1 Chronicles 15, it says, and they were to worship before him. Because one day there, I was in the one morning in the church, and the Lord spoke to me. I didn't know about prophetic worshippers. I just mentioned that way back there because that's what released it. And the Lord said, if you can release your prophetic worshippers, heaven will come down. I said, Lord, I need a scripture. And there it was, the Levites. They were set aside to minister to the Lord and for heaven to come down. And so David found that they had to wear the robes and sacrifice. It was by the power of the blood. And so now I need to lead you into the New Testament, how to be a worshiper. A worshiper is by the power of the blood. There's so many people that is blocked in worship, but tonight he's made a way for you. It's in the system of the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled it in the new. There is power in the blood. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that the old Pentecostals, when they started revivals, all they preached was the blood, and the oil fell on the blood. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I'm going to give you those principles of the power of the blood and use them all the time in your worship. You know, I remember, this is an old story, but it illustrates it. I was praying for a town in the west and suddenly I felt this heaviness over me. And you know, you're about to say, oh, the heavens are shut to me. And the Lord said, that's not what you believe. And I said, yes, it's not what I believe. Because before I ever read it in Bill Johnston's book or Reinhardt's book about an open heaven, I always believed the heavens were opened. And and so I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, there's a demonic force that's opposing you. I said, Lord, what must I do? He said, you must, whatever you do, you must continue to believe my word and to speak it and to rejoice in it and to worship in it. And that's the sacrifice of praise. I continue to worship in that word that the heavens were open, that the blood was sufficient, praying in the spirit, and that thing broke. Hallelujah. Because why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Because on the cross, he did it for you. He did it for me. He rendered every power in hell Powerless. Say that word, powerless. And he has given us victory. First principle of the blood. There's forgiveness in the blood. Say there's forgiveness in the blood. And so when you come into a meeting, you say, I receive your forgiveness. I remember one night I spent all night repenting. I went home, I thought I'd done a good job, you know. I was good at it as a young Catholic. You know, I beat my breast, beat myself up and whatever. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, you sin grievously tonight. I said, Lord, what do you mean I sin grievously tonight? He said, why didn't you receive my forgiveness so that I could use you to reach somebody in the meeting? When we're preoccupied with ourselves, God cannot use us to reach out. And so he's made provision for us by the power of the blood so that we're not sin conscious, but that we're conscious of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number two, I'm in Christ Jesus by the power of the blood. And so when they put on the robes, it was a symbol of righteousness and what they were in Christ. And tonight, it's not based on who you are or anything you've done. It's based on the power of the blood. And you are a worshiper because of the power of the blood, and you're in somebody else's life. And that power brings you into another realm. Hallelujah. There's no weapon formed against you will prosper. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. So there's nothing to stop you being a worshiper because of the bloodline. Number four, Hebrews 10:19 says, I have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so it's an open heaven. I have confidence by the power of the blood. Say, I have confidence.
I have confidence.
By the power of the blood.
By the power of the blood.
To enter the most holy place.
Which he's made through his flesh.
Oh, you know, what tremendous reality. And then I started to teach, I'm going to go back to some of this again, and he said, there are all the different dimensions of worship. There's apostolic worship. Apostolic worship is every believer taking authority. Apostolic worship is you taking authority and what the cross and the blood and the resurrection has done for you is you getting to your feet and knowing of what the power of the blood has done. There's prophetic worship. There's your prophetic worshipers. And I sort of feel a word for the house is, release your prophetic worshippers. They bring heaven down. Identify, release them. There's pastoral worship. It's where you minister into the needs of the people. People who are going through pain and suffering, you minister into the needs of them and you bring strength. Evangelistic worship is where you minister to people who don't yet know Christ. And the whole area of teaching is the whole thing of teaching within our worship. And so God's will for us, when we look at Pentecost, is that there was a flame on every head. And so there was 120 of them that moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that fire burned over every head. And so they weren't looking for Noel to bring his flame to the meeting so that he could, what would I say, get you lit up. But you have received a flame. Hallelujah. And so on every head and in every place of the meeting, you have received the power of the Holy Ghost. Say the power of the Holy Ghost.
I have received
the power of the Holy Ghost.
Everything I need
to be a worshiper has been given to me. I will release that power of that gift within me. And I can remember in those years going on, we'd be in a meeting, hit a wall, and I'd say, Lord, where next? He said, let the taps flow. Get everyone praying in the Spirit, the taps will flow. Wow, my goodness, those things, everything. Let the fire loose. Glory to God. And so it was just tremendous. I remember one night the Holy Spirit just spoke a word to me. He said, do this. And I questioned it. He said, the commander has given an order. And I felt a shiver go right through me. Is that our worship is led by the Holy Spirit, that he's in charge of everything we do, that he takes us through it. I have authority as a believer because of the power of the blood. The blood has paid the price, hallelujah, that I am a priest before God and that I can use that authority, that I have received the power of the Holy Ghost. You have received the power of the Holy Ghost. You have not received any less of the Holy Ghost than I have,
that Noel has or that anybody else has, you have received the power of the Holy Ghost. That power is a flame over you. That power is authority over you. And God wants to release a flame over every believer. Apostolic worship. Hallelujah. Releasing everybody into their destiny, into their calling, releasing the flame of God and releasing the prophetic and the prophets in our midst. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord for all these years. It's been a great joy to follow the Lord, to listen to the Spirit, just to see new people released in it. And it's always a God thing, you know. Just new things happen, new things go. I remember I was in the meeting one morning and there was this tall lady there from Nigeria. She looked down at me when she stood up. She was tall. And the Lord said, get her to sing. I said, Lord, can she sing? He didn't answer me. So I got her out. She had a lovely, sweet voice. Then another voice comes, get her to pray. My goodness, couldn't she pray? Or shut all so yo-yo through the place. And I am questioning, you know, May, June and July, the angels, presence. Some Sundays, the place is like angels. Other Sundays, it's a battle. Why? And I'm seeing things is that everybody has got a sphere in worship. It's like worship leaders, ministries. You've got a sphere in your songs. If you move outside of that, the anointing lifts. And so it's finding the keys, how to release it and how to move in it and how we can release the supernatural. I'm interested in what CFEN are doing because Daniel Kalindi sees as many miracles as Reinhardt, and I don't think there's books upon books to contain the amount of miracles that happened in his ministry. But through their worship, they are seeing incredible miracles happening through their worship. And they want to see, as well as an evangelistic move, a worship move. And so tonight, as I speak a mixture of different things into your life, as an individual, you are a worshiper because he paid the price for you on the cross. He paid the price for you that you would be a worshiper, that you had to have authority, that you, because of the blood and because of the resurrection, you take that authority. And so you enter into that place where you don't go on your feelings, you just begin to minister before the Lord and you begin to release that which is within you. And so it's important, you don't wait for somebody to, crank you up. But you have an authority. You've been given an authority from heaven. He paid the price that you would move in the authority that he has put within you. You receive what he's done for you. And so no longer are you just looking at yourself and just looking at your inability, but you're now looking at what he's done, and everything that he was in his early ministry is everything that you can move in. And so there is a place where you come to a place of proclamation. The proclamation that I believe that does such much damage to the power, to the enemy. It's a proclamation of his greatness, of his goodness, of his power, of his victory. And so when you come to begin to worship, you say, Lord, I thank you for the power of the blood. I thank you that the blood is sufficient. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that there's no lack in the price you paid for me. But that you have that cleansing power, that power that is eternal, that power of the blood that speaks for me. And so I can release that. I thank you, Lord, that I have an open heaven. And so it's important for us to release in our faith and in our speaking what has been put within us. And so I can thank you, Lord, because the Word says it. And so why would I be saying, Lord, bring me in? Why would you be trying to get in of what you're out of? Because, and getting out of what you're in. And so it's very important for you to believe everything according to the Word. And as you believe everything according to the Word and speak it according to the Word and allow the Holy Ghost to rise up within you, that which you're now believing and proclaiming, you will begin to experience in your soul life. And so you can bring the presence of God wherever you go. Because you're not moved by circumstances
or you're not moved by anything around you, or you're not dependent on anything, no matter where you go, you have an authority and you walk in a realm of the Spirit and you carry with you that authority of the power of the blood and the power of the resurrection, and out of how you speak and you say, Lord, I thank you that you've done it. I thank you, Lord, that I'm living in it. I thank you, Lord, that I've got victory. And I want to say to you tonight that you are someone that the devil will keep well away from, and you will be able to declare, I gave him a hard time today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, I sat where you sat. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was so out of it. I'm sure people asked, is it an animal, a vegetable, a mineral, or what? But I saw something in somebody's life, and that released something into my life, and I went after it, and I got it. Hallelujah. And, you know, God never gave up on me, even the words, the prophecies, the speaking into my life. So to come from where I was to get where I've come to today, I just stayed in the Word. And God sowed something in my heart. And tonight, if you hear God speaking to you, don't say it's impossible. You can accomplish everything according to the Word of God. I believe we have held something for apostolic ministry, but I believe others will, for a dream, that there would be apostolic teams all over the nation. And why do I believe in apostolic? Because it releases people into their destiny. It gets movement everywhere. The church deserves to get movement, to release people, to see them moving in their destiny and their calling, to fulfill their destiny and their calling, that the cry of people all over the country, that they would fulfill it, because they want to take territory and they want to see the King exalted and his name lifted above all names. Hallelujah. And so I'm committed to that because it's team ministry. It's not about... It's not about a figurehead, it's about a whole team of people and a team of ministries being raised up. And I just praise God for this house, for teams of ministry being raised up. And tonight, I release that for you, for prophetic worshipers. That brings you to new levels and new levels of heaven coming down. I release it for the nation of prophetic worshipers, of how they hold themselves before the Lord to release. What's within them, the revival that they carry, the presence of God, that as they stand in a meeting, something in the prophet's life from heaven is brought down that I cannot get to as a believer, but I can see and enjoy. Apostolically, I want to see everything move. A prophet gets up there and says, oh, it's good, come and enjoy it, and they bring some of heaven down. Hallelujah. I release that in your house tonight. And everything that we have received over the years from every ministry, we release it and we also receive it back in the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for everybody in this space. And I speak tonight that you are a blood-bought child of God. Hallelujah. That he paid a price. No devil in hell has a right to stop you or to prevent you from the worship of God. That you are one who stand in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you every day to proclaim the power of that blood and say, I am forgiven. Say it.
I am forgiven.
I am in Christ Jesus. The one who healed the sick. The one who raised the dead. The one who was raised from the dead. The one who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The one who stilled the oceans. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper because of the blood. No weapon formed against me will prosper because of the blood. I thank you, Lord, that I have an open heaven because of the blood. That the power of God flows freely from heaven into my life. And because of the Holy Ghost. And because of the fire of the Holy Ghost and the river of the Holy Spirit, that power flows from within me. And we shall see the fulfillment of the desire of everything that Jesus Christ has for this nation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, Ruth.